What's up, my wacky, whimsical weirdos? On this episode 24 of the Warped Reality Podcast, we talk about the cryptid Springfield Jack. We learn about the Hynek Scale, take a tour of the Sally House, check in with Chris Whitehouse of the White House Investigation Team, and Edgegrave Dave gives us his horrible review of the terrifyingly gruesome movie Terrifier 2, including all of your favorite segments and the new segment, Tiny Terrifying Tales, with Paranormal Hearts podcast host Kat Ward narrating. So let's go!
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of the Warped Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Ghost Joe. So now that spooky season has come to a close, we must remember one thing. There is always time to talk about the spooky, weird, and strange. We don't need a holiday to define our passion, do we? I have an excellent show for you guys tonight. Like every other show, I like to give you a little taste of everything. On this second installment of Tiny Terrifying Tales, our narrator is a fellow paranormal podcaster from the Paranormal Hearts podcast, Kat Ward. We have been desperately trying to get a collab going for a while now, and it's gonna happen eventually, but unfortunately, just not yet. I do have some great interviews coming your way soon, so definitely stay tuned for that. So, as I said in the intro, Edgegrave Dave reviews Terrifier 2. Now, I haven't seen it yet, and don't worry, he doesn't really spoil anything in the review, so that's definitely a very good thing as well. But I did actually watch the first installment of the movies featuring the antagonist, Art the Clown. It's called All Hallows Eve, and it was released in 2013. And although Art the Clown was played by a different actor, his name being Mike Gianelli, he definitely paved the way for this character to be the silent, charismatic killer he is in the Terrifier movies. Honestly, I freaking love this character so much. He has a sadistic humor like Freddy and the silence of Michael Myers and Jason. Definitely check it out if you have a chance. But don't worry, you don't have to watch these films in order. But I really feel that Art the Clown is gonna be the next biggest horror icon, to be honest with you. I know this movie came out almost 10 years ago, and there was a little short film before that that came out even before, but I feel like with the Terrifier 2 coming out and it doing so well in the movies and everything, I feel that he's gonna be a big horror icon to reckon. So now let's talk some out-of-this-world news. NASA has just put together a team of 16 scientists and experts who will investigate and study the mystery surrounding the UAP phenomenon. That's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, also known as UFOs. It's comprised of experts in many different fields, such as astrobiology, data science, oceanography, genetics, policy, and planetary science. Also including retired NASA astronaut Scott Kelly, a former fighter pilot and test pilot, and a retired U.S. Navy captain. It will be led by astrophysicist David Spurge, who is the president of the Simons Foundation in New York City. The study, which will last about 9 months, with a budget no more than $100,000, are not focused on what these UAPs are, which they have never claimed them being extraterrestrial, but to basically see how NASA should go about studying them. Huh? They seek to find answers to make sure that they are not safety or security threats, and to gain some sort of scientific understanding of all of these unexplained sightings. The study will also be completely unclassified and within the public domain. Again, I believe we are getting closer for the reveal of extraterrestrials, and it's an exciting thought to me. I'll be interviewing John Wright soon, who is a school teacher, paranormal investigator, and a member of MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. It's a volunteer organization made up of civilians who investigate UFO reports, so definitely look out for that. All right, so now let's talk a little bit about one of the most haunted houses in America. This one's called the Sally House. Built in the mid-1800s, this house, located in Atchison, Kansas, is one of the most haunted houses in America. It's said that the house was home to the Finney family. During this time, Dr. Charles Finney used to perform surgeries in his home. One day, a mother brought her 6-year-old daughter named, you guessed it, Sally, to the home, with the girl complaining of severe abdominal pain. Dr. Finney quickly diagnosed the girl with appendicitis and began to perform emergency surgery. Before the anesthetic kicked in, as a result, the child died in the basement surgical area. Sally and a middle-aged woman, possibly her mother, are said to haunt the house. Some things that have been reported are unexplained voices, children's toys being thrown about, spontaneous fires, and even physical violence, such as scratches and one instance where one of the owners was almost pushed down the stairs. All of the physical attacks, however, are always done to men who enter the home, so much so that it has been dubbed the man-hating ghost. It's been featured on many shows such as The Haunting, Sightings, and Ghost Adventures. And you can even stay there. I believe it's a bed and breakfast as well. So if you want to check it out, that's not a bad thing to do. You know, I know I would definitely love to do something like that, although I definitely wouldn't want to be pushed down the stairs by an unseen force. But hey, you know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. So over in Quantock Hills in Somerset, England, there is a very rude apparition that just does not want to be bothered. She takes the form of the urban legend Lady in White, which many towns have, but this one is a little more sassy. She apparently swears at people visiting a beauty spot known as Dead Woman's Ditch. A ghost hunter couple had been investigating over there and claimed that the woman, possibly that of Jane Walford, who was murdered by her husband, had told them to F off. Other people have encountered her walking along the road, and when investigated, she disappears. You know, that reminds me of an experience I had when I lived in Staten Island, New York. My friends and I used to frequent this haunted spot called the Conference House. It's a very historical place. Parts of the Declaration of Independence were signed there, and even part of the Revolutionary War was fought there. So one day, my friend and I had gone down there very late at night. We were looking at the middle top window when we saw a ghostly figure staring back at us. It sent chills down our spines because we knew he did not want us there that night. He looked pissed. So we got the hell out of there and didn't return at least for a few weeks. You know, it's like I always say, guys, if you are an asshole in life, you'll be an asshole in death. Straight up. All right, so now let's take a trip to the Cryptid Zoo, shall we? Only this one really isn't a monster or an animal. This one's called Spring-Heeled Jack. So in the 1800s, there were accounts of a roof-jumping, devil-like humanoid creature who terrorized the UK. He is said to have clawed hands, eyes like red balls of fire. He's tall and slender, with a black cloak and white, tight-fitting clothes like an oilskin, and topped wearing a helmet. According to witnesses, he is able to leap over houses. The first sighting was in 1837 by a girl named Mary Stevens, who claimed she was walking home from work when a dark figure jumped out of the shadows and started clawing at her clothes and kissing her face. Creep. After she screamed, he ran off. The next day, the leaping character is said to have chosen a very different victim near Mary Stevens' home, inaugurating a method that would reappear in later reports. He jumped in the way of a passing carriage, causing the coachman to lose control, crash, and severely injure himself. Several witnesses claim that he escaped by jumping over a 9-foot-high wall while cackling with a high-pitched, ringing laughter. There are even some accounts of him breathing blue and white flames into his victims' faces. One thing is for certain, this dude has some serious communication problems, all right? There were many sightings of this demonic-esque creature. One of the last sightings was in Lincolnshire, where he was seen wearing a sheepskin. An angry mob chased him, cornered him, and began shooting at him to no effect. He then fled using his jumping abilities. Hey, where do you think all the angry mobs of yesteryear went? They're probably on social media, right? Anyway, the last account of Springheel Jack was in 1904 in Everton, Liverpool, leaping from rooftop to rooftop. Some people tried surrounding him, then he leapt away, never to be seen again. He is now used as a parent's threat that if kids don't listen, Springheel Jack will take them. Maybe my friend Chris Whitehouse from the White House investigation team has seen Jack. Let's check in with him for his segment about ghost apps. Take it away, Chris.
Hello, this week I want to talk to you about ghost apps. But first, what are ghost apps simulating? You're probably aware of EMF meters and the Frank's box and spirit boxes. So the spirit box, for example, is like a radio that scans for radio frequencies but never settles on one. And with the permanent chopping and changing of channels, you get clips of radio stations. And because they can be heard in interpreted in different ways, it's easy to think you hear the word you want to hear. Having said that, the belief is that between the radio waves, words are spoken through the white noise, so that it's not a radio station. However, it's completely improvable. You don't know what fifth of a second of a radio station is caught, on what channel, so there's no way of going back and finding out what noise you might have heard that is natural. So the Spirit Box scans live radio in real time. Now, the app version doesn't do that. It has pre-recorded maybe radio stations, and maybe it was live radio at the time, but these are programmed in static pieces played at random, which isn't the same. If the theory of white noise is to be correct, then this is just a recording of a session of live radio. Likewise, the Frank Box is an EMF detector which supposedly has a word bank with different levels of EMF playing a designated word. Now, how does a spirit know exactly which EMF level to pull in order to play what word? I don't imagine it comes with a rule book, but let's just take it that it does work. This box says random words, seemingly by the EMF level that's detected. So the app version doesn't do that because a mobile phone has a magnometer which it uses to know which way up and down your phone is, or like the GPS and stuff. It knows how to use a compass app, for example, but it's not really a true EMF detector. However, what they do instead, they put in a word bank, play it at random. When you're walking around, will spit out words. My point being that if you put these apps in your living room and just press play, they will deliver you words and scraps of radio stations, seemingly, because that's all they have in there. So instantly you would write off the apps. However, it goes further than that. I've used the apps myself out of wanting something new to try, basically, and trying to discredit these apps. And strangely, we've had times when they've really staggered us and predicted words that are going to come through the Ouija board, names and other things like that. They've even spelled out names on the Ouija board at the same time as having the correct name come through the app. So can spirits still manipulate these data logs? I mean, the jury's still out, but there's a huge question mark from our perspective, that it might still work. Obviously, the biggest app out there is Necrophonic, and we've used that ourselves with greater success in Estes Method, where you have Necrophonic blasted into your ears, far away from the team, and so the team will ask out questions, and the Necrophonic listener will just repeat what Necrophonic says in their ears. It's a very garbled, very distorted word bank of some nice voices and some nasty voices, kind of very Halloween-y, you know, very obviously creepy on purpose, but because it's more sentency based, could provide better results. When we're not using the Necrophonic app, it just says random things, and then when we're actually using it on an investigation, it will pinpoint names who are using it, our team names and stuff. There's still more work to be done, but sometimes you can have conversations. I will say, rather than listening to the word and then saying, oh, by that, do you mean ABC? I'll say a colour or say a number and wait for it to respond. And we have had responses a good handful of times. So it's interesting. And on our page, I've started a two-part experiment. I've recorded 2 minutes of the Necrophonic app just playing. And if you would help me out by listening to that clip and commenting on the video, what words you hear, how you interpret the things that are being said. And then, when I get enough data, I'm going to actually record while we're using it on site in an investigation and see if the words make more of a correct story during an investigation, like they are being manipulated. And I really appreciate your input on that. Well, that's apps for now, but there'll be a second part to this because I want to dig deeper. Thanks for listening, and back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your excellent segment, as usual. Right now, we are going to talk about the Hynek scale. Have you guys ever heard of the Hynek scale before? More than likely you have, but you just don't know it. Ever heard of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind and the found footage movie The Fourth Kind? You see, the Hynek scale was developed and published in J. Allen Hynek's book, The UFO Experience, A Scientific Inquiry. Hynek, a UFO researcher and astronomer, developed a three-tier classification scale, differentiating the levels of UFO and alien contact one could have. So let's go over them, shall we? So Close Encounters of the First Kind is a visual sighting of a UFO seemingly 500 feet or 150 meters away. It starts there because anything further away could be mistaken for anything else. You know, at least 500 feet away is quite close and, you know, more than likely, you'd be able to tell what something is from that far away. So Close Encounters of the Second Kind is where a UFO is allegedly causing some sort of electronic or radio interference. You know, as far as you hear about the stories about driving down, you know, a highway and people see UFOs and all of a sudden their radio starts going into static and stuff like that, or their car stalls. That's Close Encounters of the Second Kind. That also has to do with animals reacting to a UFO or a physiological effect on a human, such as being paralyzed or some sort of discomfort or feeling ill due to a UFO sighting. A physical impression to the environment is also in this category, such as crop circles. So Close Encounters of the Third Kind is a UFO witnessed where there is an animated humanoid, robot, or human who is an occupant or pilot of the UFO. So, you know, an alien. So now there's two more, there's two extensions to the scale that were added later by others. These aren't part of the original scale, but only because they were not thoroughly researched as Hynek did with the first three. So Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind is when a human is abducted by either the UFO or its occupants, such as like the movie, The Fourth Kind. And if you haven't seen that movie, by the way, you should definitely check it out. It's frightening. It's a great, great movie. And same thing like Fire in the Sky. That's another one of Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. And now Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind is a UFO event claiming direct communication between aliens and humans. So there you have it. There's the Hynek scale. On the next episode, we're going to be talking about a protocol called the CE5 protocol. It's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, where a doctor, Dr. Stephen Greer, has developed a method to basically channel UFOs and alien activity to summon them to your area. It's quite interesting, and definitely check that out on the next episode. So now let's move on to I Read It on Reddit. And the first one is posted by Iris Vivid. I think I was almost attacked by a demonic entity. This still freaks me out today. When I was around 6 or 7, we had moved into a new house and everything was fine. Nothing weird had happened until about a few months later. I remember that I had woke up really late at night and hearing my mom calling my name. So I got up and walked into the hall. I said, "Mom?" And she just kept saying my name. So I walked into the living room and asked, "Where are you?" To which I got a response, which was something like, "I'm behind the couch." So I walked over there and she's not there. So I said, "Mom," a few more times and there was no answer. This freaked me out, so I had ran to my parents' room. I pulled the door open, and as I was trying to shut it, something was pulling back on the other side. I remember my mom waking up from this and asking what I was doing. I told her there was something pulling on the door, and she didn't believe me. Recently, I had told my mom about this, and she said she doesn't remember this happening. I later found out that demonic entities use the voice of a loved one to lure you in. This absolutely terrifies me, knowing that I could have possibly died from this. I just wanted to know if anybody had any additional information about this. That's pretty frightening, I think. And I'm going to give you another one, too. So this one was posted by Status Highlight 2173. This one's entitled The Hat Man. I saw the Hat Man twice. Once was many years back as a teen. I saw him briefly and then didn't again for over 10 years. I then saw him again in my late 20s in the corner of my bedroom. I was sitting straight up in the middle of the bed. I was wide awake, waiting on my then boyfriend to come back in the room. I didn't see his face, but a wide brimmed hat, extremely tall, over 6 foot. Solid, dark male figure in a trench coat and no face, as he was looking down at something in his hands. He just disappeared when I reached out to convince myself that he wasn't there, and it couldn't possibly be real. I never shook these experiences and looked up a shadow figure, wide-brimmed hat, and came across the Hat Man site. Posts, stories, and even a movie since then. I didn't feel terrified, just shocked and freaked out a bit, but not scared enough that I didn't reach out. Anyone else see him? So, has anyone else seen the Hat Man? If you have, please give me a call. Let me know your experience, 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your experiences on anything from Hat Man to aliens to Bigfoot to anything you could throw at me. I'm pretty open to just about anything. So please do so. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks. And now let's check in with Edgegrave Dave on his horrible review of Terrifier 2. Take it away, Dave.
Horrible review with Edgegrave Dave. Hey, what's up, fellow grave diggers? Edgegrave Dave here with another horrible review. And oh boy, is this a big one. At the time of this recording, I have just bear witness to Terrifier 2. This movie, at the time of this recording, is only shown in theaters. This has been quite some talk. This is a movie that is an independent film, actually, and it has grossed over $5.3 million so far, the last numbers that I have looked at. The budget was $250,000. And there was a campaign that really shot it through the roof. They were only asking for $50,000, actually. They did a lot with a $250,000 budget. This is being shown in theaters nationwide. It is about to go all the way internationally here. Canada, Australia, in the UK. Terrifier 2 is written and directed by Damien Leone. It is starring David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown, who I believe is already starting to fill some iconic horror shoes. Also starring Elliot Fulham and Lauren Lavera. Now, this movie, and one of the reasons why I'm so excited about it, has really broken down some barriers here. It's a slasher film that really kind of takes you back to a time where there's no rules in a way, where You know, things are fresh and new, yet has a feeling of kind of the 80s nostalgia in a way, but extremely brutal. There's just so much going on here. The killings are beyond brutal. And a lot of it is not actually for the weak of heart or for the faint of heart, as they say it. This movie has been notorious for, yes, I've actually heard notorious reports of people vomiting and fainting during this freaking movie. Could you imagine such a thing? I mean, I could see people maybe looking away or covering their eyes, but actually vomiting and fainting in the movie multiple times, that's really quite an achievement. But trust me when I say, I don't think you'll be seeing a lot of that. Now, the way that I found out about this movie might be a little different than some other people. One of the stars, as I've mentioned, his name is Elliot Fulton.
And I've also been a fan of something else that Elliot does called Little Punk People. This is a channel where at the age of 8 or 9 years old, Elliot has been interviewing some of my favorite bands. He's about 18 now. So I've been following him for quite a bit. And to interview bands like Metallica, Ghost, even Cannibal Corpse, I thought this was very interesting, and the questions were very intriguing and well thought out, held my interest for quite a bit, quite some years here. His mother also paints. Some of the paintings do appear in the movie, actually. So I don't want to give any spoilers without saying, here's a grave warning, spoiler alert. And his father is like a musical encyclopedia, so must have been fantastic growing up like that in such a musical family with those influences. So one night I was checking out my social media, and I noticed that Elliot was auditioning for a role in this movie called Terrifier 2. I hadn't heard of it before, I certainly didn't see the first one, and I figured, okay, let me come back to this and see what's going on. Something that, kind of by the picture of it, I would probably want to see. And then, this last month, I've noticed some pictures popping up, and I have still no idea what it was about. I said, wow, this is really gaining some steam here. Then I saw all these movie times for it, not to mention that one of my buddies named Bill went to go and see it, and he had some excellent feedback about it, thought that it was just incredible. I said, okay, I gotta go and check this movie out for myself. And what I got is an experience. This, as I've mentioned, was only supposed to be a very limited run. The fans have been driving this force, and the reason is because the villain of this movie is called Art the Clown. He is a mime-type clown. The expressions that he makes, some of the faces, the body language is just downright hysterical at times, until it gets brutal and terrifying. And the amount of blood in this movie, I've never seen anything like that on the silver screen. The music is actually really atmospheric and excellent too. That part does harken back to the 80s for me a little bit, but this is a modern movie. This is not a timepiece, so to speak. This isn't like Stranger Things. Now, the amount of bloodshed in this movie parallels even more blood than something like Saw. At times, I thought I was even watching a Mortal Kombat fatality. That's how much blood and gore that there is in this movie. But there is a very good story to it. What I'll tell you to is, I also don't want to tell too much, to give away too much at this time. But what I do want to tell you is that the movie picks up right where the previous one left off. If you have not seen Terrifier 1, don't worry, because I certainly did not at the time of viewing this movie. And this does stand on its own. There's just so much killing. And so some of this happens just immediately. But there is a very good story. The two lead characters are a brother and a sister that are living in tension with their mother. Something happened with the father. There was a suicide. The brother's obsessed with the murders. And the sister's been having some visions and things that have been lending itself to tying her closer to the clown. there is an angel type character that the father has been drawing, where they discover a book. He was somewhat of an artist, and the way that the storytelling is done in between the killing scenes is just really interwoven very well. It has a very interesting climax, and it's one that I actually like very much. I felt that it was satisfying. I certainly do hope that it does lead to something else. But when I went back to go see the original film, I thought it was like an evolution. I thought that it was great. Also, Chris Jericho does make an appearance in this movie as well, so that was a really nice bonus. Other things that I do want to mention about this movie is that there are really no times that you'll be bored. It's suspenseful. It has the gore, like I mentioned. It's got a great story, and it's about time that a movie has come out. There's a great heroine here, where this movie has sort of an anti-Hollywood, you know, indie feel to me, where it kind of takes me back to a time where icons are just born, and you're going to see, especially, I'm sure, in pop culture, a lot of references and all different things with Art the Clown. So I think he's here to stay. And I think that the runtime of the movie being, believe it or not, about 2.5 hours, it's uncut. I've just never seen anything like that on the silver screen. So it's hard not to want to give it about 5 grades here, but I'm going up there. So enjoy the movie. Certainly take it with a notion of, if you need to cover your eyes, if you, you know, need to, but don't throw up, don't vomit. I don't think that's going to happen to you. You'll be okay. Go see this movie, Terrifier 2, and then after you're done, go watch Terrifier 1, and then go watch All Hallows Eve. So there's even another movie, and that kind of started it, but discover that. Back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you, Edgegrave, for that awesome, horrible review. Listen, I can't say enough great things about the Terrifier series, between All Hallows Eve. And I now, you know, like I said a bunch of times, that I do this podcast in pieces. And now I have seen All Hallows Eve, Terrifier 1 and Terrifier 2. And amazing. All three films, amazing. Gore like you wouldn't believe, but not, I don't want to say, not realistic looking gore, like Evil Dead kind of gore, not like Saw kind of gore. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't really understand why people were vomiting and passing out and stuff, because it's clearly not real, you know? And, but I, right up my alley, man. I so much enjoyed all three movies. Terrifier 2 was great. Story was amazing. And yeah, so definitely check out Art the Clown in all three of those movies. So now we're going to go with some haunted eBay. And the first item we got is vintage necktie, metaphysical, haunted, paranormal, cursed, 666, devils in the details. Now, mind you, this really doesn't have much of a description on it, but I just wanted to put this one out there because I thought it was kind of interesting. It's a, well, I don't know if it's actually haunted but or cursed, but it's definitely cursed with some ugliness, because this has got to be one of the ugliest ties I've ever seen. It's a necktie, by the way, and the price is going for $999. Which is quite a bit of money for a necktie. But the shipping is only $5.35, and it's coming from all the way from Benton, Arkansas. So let's read the very, very short description. Now, it is the decade it comes from is the 1970s, so just so you know that. It says here, vintage necktie, metaphysical, haunted, paranormal, possessed, cursed, 666. The one who is intended to find this tie will, very clearly, disguised and unrecognized by most. This understated tie is very powerful. Please see photos for details and features. The bizarre history behind this tie is unbelievable. The energy you feel when you wear it is overwhelming, and its potential power is out of my league. Buyer beware, the devil is in the details. Well, the devil's maybe in the details, but your description definitely is not in the details. So I wish you would actually tell me a little bit about that. It is silk blend, though, so maybe that's why it's $999. But yeah, if you guys want a extremely ugly tie for $1,000, there you go. Next item we have is Haunted Mirror. And the mirror is going for $75. The shipping is $17.10, and it's coming from Salt Lake City, Utah. So this one is Haunted Mirror. This is the real thing. I bought this at a garage sale in 2020. I have had serious problems since. The entity or demon attached to Mira is Hannibal, but he's a trickster, so he goes by many different names. Anyone that will get your attention, he will affect you if you allow him to. He has made me very sick mentally and physically as well, as put my husband in the hospital. Serious inquiries only, please. But must go ASAP. My birth family, whom are deceased, have given me a message letting me know how to rid myself of this demon. This mirror is a portal also. So, yeah, I don't know why, but that one gave me a little bit of chills. I don't know. Mirrors kind of freaked me out a little bit. Maybe it's because of the reflection staring back at me isn't the best looking. I don't know. But, you know, I have a face for radio, people, and podcasts. But yeah, so that's Haunted Mirror. Oh, by the way, guys, the Warped Reality Podcast and Ghost Joe here make no, you know, this is all for entertainment purposes. I make no stakes and I hold no responsibility if you purchase any of these items and paranormal activity does or does not happen. All right, so buyer beware and buy at your own risk. And the last item on Haunted eBay is Haunted Bird Figurine, Ghosts, Creepy, Paranormal, Poltergeist. And the starting bid is $40, or you could buy it now for $100. The shipping is $9, coming from Providence, Rhode Island. What's up, Steve? So the description goes like this. Haunted Bluebird Antique, Ghost, Poltergeist, Weird, Paranormal, New England. A box of old antiques from my old roommate's ex was left at our house. She said that her grandmother told her that all of the items were haunted. She has long passed, but I no longer want to have ghosts in my house, so I am going to start selling these items off. The ghost activity has been fairly harmless, but scares friends and roommates. We have heard footsteps when no one else is home. Items on shelves fall off or are moved. You can hear people talking near the box of items in the basement when no one else is down there. Our cat loves exploring the basement, but will not go near the box either. If you are into collecting haunted items, this bird will bring the weird. So, yeah, if you want a tiny, tiny blue bird that's haunted, yeah, check it out. Haunted eBay. All right, guys, so we're coming to a close here on the show. But before that, we're going to get into our new segment called Tiny Terrifying Tales. This one is called The Basement, and it is narrated by my good friend and fellow podcaster, Kat Ward, who hosts the Paranormal Hearts podcast. And I will be getting her on the show eventually, and we will be doing a collaboration because she's awesome. We share a lot of the same views on many of the paranormal things, and she has a great show going. So please check her out and check out, you know what? Check out all of the people that I've had on the show. All the links will be in the show notes. So please check them out because everybody's awesome. Yeah. So here you go. Here's the final segment of Tiny Terrifying Tales.
Now it's time for Tiny Terrifying Tales.
The Basement, narrated by Kat Ward. Where is it? my neighbor Charlie asked as he cocked his shotgun. Down in the basement, I said, terrified, unshed tears filling up my eyes. My kids found it and it took them, I explained to him. Then Phil went down there to find out why they were screaming. He thought they were playing and the thing just grabbed him. I cried. Please help them, Charlie, I begged. Okay, get behind me, he said as he led the way with a shotgun. It's down there. I locked the door, I said as I pointed at the thick brown door. Stay here, he said, and unlocked the door. He opened it slowly and flipped the light switch, but the basement did not light up. I think it knocked the bulb out, I said. What is it? He asked me. I don't know. I just heard the kids screaming, I said again. He nodded his head and began to slowly walk down the steps and into the basement. Phil? He called out in the darkness, but got no reply. Kids? It's me, Charlie, he said as he descended the stairs. I heard something scurry across the floor in the basement, and Charlie jumped. Phil, was that you? He asked. The sound came again, and he called out again. Kids, is that you? Your mother is really worried, he said. He tried to mask it, but I could hear the fear in his voice. Who wouldn't be frightened? The basement was a scary place in any house, and now the two children and a full-grown man had vanished while screaming. It was enough to make anyone afraid. Charlie continued to wander the dark basement, and his footsteps echoed up the stairs. Mary, do you mind getting me a flashlight? Charlie started to say when he was cut short and began to scream. Charlie, what did you see? I asked, afraid. What the fuck is that thing? He shouted as I heard the shotgun go off. I opened the door to see him approaching when something tripped him. It grabbed his leg and pulled him back down the stairs in a single tug. Mary! Mary! He screamed all the way down. Charlie! I called after him as he disappeared into the darkness. Fuck! He screamed, and the basement became silent once more. I ran to my phone to call the police. Help! There's something in my basement. It's got my kids, husband, and now my neighbor. Please hurry! I screamed to the operator. In a few minutes, I could hear the sirens of a police car outside my house. Two officers came rushing out of the car. It's in here, officers, I said as I hurried them into the basement. They both drew their weapons and brought out flashlights as they slowly descended the steps. Stay up there, Matt, one of them was saying before I pushed them all the way down the stairs and shut the door. Soon they were screaming and firing round after round before the basement suddenly went quiet again. I took an electric lamp and went down to the basement. There were six pale and grotesque bodies in the basement, all hollow and void of their souls. I had used all my strength in summoning the Soul Eater. Luring the children down here had been the tricky part, but that was all it took, and the others foolishly went in after them. Now, with their six souls, I finally had all that I needed to complete my ritual and summon the ancients. As I drew the pentagram on the floor and prepared the candles, all I could say was, "Woe unto the living."
And that's going to do it for me, ladies and gentlemen. On the next episode, we'll be going into detail on the terrifying Hat Man. We're going to hear Edgegrave Dave's horrible review on the movie Smile. We'll learn more about the most commonly seen alien race known as the Greys. And Chris Whitehouse will tell us all about one of my favorite subjects, demons. All that and more on episode 25, premiering on Saturday, November 26th. So please check it out and have a great night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpreality.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you would like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpreality.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.